and it's going to be the it's going to be a fast study today, tonight. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5. Shame on all of you for doubting me. I'll begin in verse 5. For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. Verse 6. You have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor, and have set over the works of your hands. Verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, here's the reason why, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. And we'll end in verse 13. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here I am, and the children whom God has given me. Father, we pray that tonight we would journey through your holy word. And Father, that tonight there may be someone here or someone viewing that will be touched by the authority of your Bible, your word. So Father, we give it to you with the intent. We've come to sing, we've come to worship, and we've come to study. And may the name of the Lord Jesus Christ be exalted. We pray that in your holy name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. So church, I'm going to ask you tonight deliberately, if you're a note taker, to write small tonight. I promise you this. The media guys said before service, they said, you know, we have something like 64 slides. Now, don't get scared. We don't have 64 pages of notes, but 64 slides. He reminded me of that. And I can tell you that in one segment of our study alone tonight, I'm going to be giving you 33 scripture references that argue without debate, irrefutable declarations of God's word as to Jesus Christ being deity. The book of Hebrews is about Jesus Christ being not only deity, but in his revelation to us as himself, in the book, he is the priest and he's the sacrifice all in one. He is the one-stop Savior, Redeemer for all of mankind. And he is altogether other than, altogether other than religion. Well, if you do this, then you do, if you've committed this, you got to go over there and do that. And if you've committed this thing, well, you need to do this other thing. And if you need, with Jesus, you go straight to him. Straight exactly to him. And we are in this section that we're looking at. And the series that has turned out to be what it is Jesus Christ is the end of Scripture. Meaning the fulfillment of Scripture. And I want to encourage you tonight as we look at this. Before we get into this, if you look around this world right now, It is obvious that what you see is pain, fear, sorrow, sickness, fill in the blank. We'd probably all agree on that, that whatever we're seeing is growing across the globe rapidly. It's we're seeing the advent of unmitigated and irrational emotion, hatred, the rejection of what's good. We're looking at Christians being labeled and identified as being bad. The Bible's bad. God is bad. And whatever is really bad is being called good. And good is being rejected. But I want you to be encouraged by this. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, Jesus said, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." So listen, I need to say this. All around the world with all the news that's going on, those of us who are trusting Christ tonight should absolutely not have an elevated heart rate. Your blood pressure should not be going up with the evening news. And you should not be wringing your hands, because wherever two or more are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst of us. Amen. And that's a promise that he said. He spoke that. The world has its problems. The world has its troubles. Jesus said in John 16, 33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have difficulty or tribulation, but be of good cheer." How do you counter difficulty, hardship, pain, and tribulation? Be of good cheer, he says. Why? Because I have overcome the world. He is saying to us in the 21st century right now, at the end of this year, God is saying, look around at everything that is hastening the end time clock scenario. And don't lose heart. Don't give up. Don't freak out. Everything's right on target. Jesus is communicating to us. Everything is moving just right. And the only reason why you would disagree with that is because your and my emotions are getting in the way of his truth. Let's be honest. Just because we don't see the answer to something that's right in front of us, we think that God's abandoned us. Jesus says, I can't do that. Where there's two or more of you gathered together, I'm there. And listen, he says, God says in Psalm 138, I exalt my word above my own name. So when Jesus says, I've got to be where two or three of my brothers and sisters are gathered together, I've got to be there. So church family, I don't care what's going on in our lives, and there's a lot going on in our lives. Jesus is there. And do not let the world dictate to you what is or is not acceptable. Stop listening to the lords of greed and the players of power. More than ever, we need to focus on him. And so we've been learning about Jesus Christ being the end of Scripture because there's no greater messenger. In verse 5, it says, "For he..." That is, the Father has put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. The Father has not put the world that's coming, or the world that is even, in subjection to angels. Angels are not running the show. Verse 6, "But one," and this is David speaking in a moment, "testified in a certain place," King David, "What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you would take care of him?" We left on that last time. Do you remember we talked about kenosis? Was anybody here? We talked about kenosis and Jesus Christ willfully emptying himself out of powers that are his, but for him to relate to your pain, difficulty, sorrow, and tragedy, he set aside those powers, never ceasing to become God, but he set those over there right now so he could feel what you and I feel. The great kenosis, the emptying out, it's a willful act by Christ for this one reason. So he can look at you in the face when you're praying, when you're crying out to God, when you feel like nobody's there or listening, he speaks to you in the way that he does, and he says, I know exactly how you feel. I got fired from my job. Jesus, you never got fired from your job. He'll speak to you and he'll say, I know exactly how you feel, and this is why I know. I got to be honest with you people. Let's be honest. Let's just be straight up on this. If you don't spend time with him, you're never going to hear that from him. There's a lot of good Christians running around biting their fingernails down to the quick because they're not pausing and being still to discover that he's God. He's still on his throne. He's not rocked by the economy. He's not rocked by the stock market. He's not rocked by the flu season. He's not rocked by COVID or whatever. He's not moved. It's good to tie yourself to things that are strong. Nobody ties their boat. When they pull into the dock or into the harbor, nobody ties their boat to a mushroom or a marshmallow they tie themselves to a dock or to an anchor. And he is our anchor. Verse 7, we learned that it says there that you've made him a little lower than the angels. This is an interesting passage because it's hard to interpret. We know for sure it's talking about mankind. That's a fact. God made you and I a little lower than the angels. But he also, when Christ came into the world, as soon as he put on our humanity, we're going to be celebrating this in a few weeks, right? That's what it's referring to as well. That he physically, in conception, and coming into this world was the eternal Son of God. Amazing. There's no messenger like Jesus. Well, I'm going to try some other religions. Go ahead. When you're all done, you'll know where to come back to. But it's amazing. So as we look at this, what I'm going to read to you regarding the verse I just read here, for thousands of years, Jews have been honestly puzzled, and for good reason, about the passage I'm going to read to you in a moment, asking, what could this mean? And my Jewish friends tonight that might be here, might be watching right now, you already know that it's something that is touchy, but I'm going to ask you, of course, you believe that you have the truth, and you do have the truth in your hands if you have an Old Testament, but I'm going to ask you, why don't you take this verse I'm going to give you and go straight to your rabbi and ask him to unpack it for you. Say, Rabbi, you know the scriptures. Yes. Unpack this one for me. And this is all about Jesus. It's all about where we're going. Okay, I see we have about half an hour left. I'm going to ask God to stop the clock. Put all your children who are in children's ministry to sleep right now. This is vitally important. So imagine being Jewish right now, because this is in the Jewish Bible, as it is in your Bible. And Psalm 110 has been around for 3,000 years. And I'm going to ask you to ask your Jewish friends what it means. David is the author. Holy Spirit's the author. Holy Spirit's using David. Listen to this. The Lord said, David is speaking. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Verse 2. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. All right, everybody. Let me read it again a little bit differently. Listen up. The Lord, David would say, that's my God. Are you tracking? By the way, look at the verse. Do you see the big caps? Anybody remember what that means? Yahweh, Yah. That is not just the word Lord. This is Yah. The name of the God of all creation. The name of the God of the Bible. Okay, I don't mean to start a world war or riots, but our dear Muslim friends, ask them what the name of their God is in the Quran. Ask them what the name of their God is in the Quran. and have them report back to you. I'll ask you and any of our Jewish friends, open up the Bible and find what the name of the God is in the Bible. And you're looking at that name. When you see capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, you are looking at the word in Hebrew, what is known as the Tetragrammaton. It is the name of God, and it is Yah. You sang songs tonight using Yah in it. By the way, it's so fun. Languages all around the world have their languages. There's one word that is the same in every language of every continent, on every continent, of every person. Hallelujah. It's the same in Hebrew, in English, German, Russian, Bolivian, Peruvian. Never changes. Is that not cool? What does it mean? It means praise the Lord. Praise Yah. Praise Yah. Yah is God's name. Lord, Yah. Praise Yah. Okay, so again, Psalm 110. The Lord, David would say, that's my God, said to my Lord, that is my Savior, sit at my right hand. So wait a minute, God is going to have the Savior sit at my right hand till God the Father makes the Savior's enemies his footstool, verse 2. And again, he says there, the Lord, that's my God, shall send the rod of your strength. That's my Savior again, out of Zion. You mean out of Zion, God is going to come, my Lord? You, Yah, are going to send the salvation of the world from Zion? Yes, David. Well, how's that going to happen? He's going to be your son. Watch. One of Jesus' titles is the son of David. Why is that? Because Mary, who gave birth to her little lamb, was related to David. So watch this. King David is talking to his salvation, Lord, and he finds out that salvation is going to come to the world, or into the world more specifically. Are you guys with me? Through David's DNA. My Jewish friends, listen. Never would a father bow to the son in the Jewish world. You understand that? The father never bows to the son. The son bows to the father. David finds out that there's going to be some descendant from him later on down the halls of history. That David will one day bow to him. I could close my Bible. Honestly, the weight of this theological truth is so amazing. We could go home tonight and sit in silence and ponder this. That the King of Israel, the friend of God, the man who God said, his heart's after me. That's my boy, so to speak. God loved David. David, the murderer. David, the adulterer. David, the guy with the temper. David, the guy with the harp. David, the songwriter. David, the poet. I mean, he was an all-around kind of guy, right? David was something. He'd cut off a giant's head and then write a song about it. It was awesome cutting off his head. I'm looking around to see who else I could make dead. something to that effect. I don't know. I just made that up. But do you understand? This is amazing. David is saying, I will one day bow the knee to someone who's related to me, who's a son of mine, who Yah, the salvation God, calls him Lord. The Lord said unto my Lord. It's incredible. Verses 7 and 8 teach us Jesus Christ is the end of Scripture because there's no greater representative for us. You crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. Again, scholars will tell you, this is both in relation to mankind that will be redeemed, human beings redeemed, but ultimately of Jesus Christ. And that's beautifully excellent. Soon, we're going to come to the word that it was fitting, it was right, it was proper, that you and I had a representative that was so able to connect with us that he knows, listen, we live in a brutal world. I'm going to be brutally honest. If you were abused, raped, molested, tortured, PTSD, went to war, saw the things you see in war, the stuff you see on the streets as a police officer or a nurse or a doctor or a PA in the ER, the horror that you see in the world. And the argument that you have as to, and we agree with you, how horrible this world is. God agrees with you on that. Here's the deal. He can feel what you felt in the moment he was feeling it. And the comeback is, why didn't he do something about it? Abraham said it this way, shall not the God of all the earth do right? Let me tell you something. Please hear this. Some of you need to hear this. When that horrible thing was happening to you when you were 4 years old, and it's been all of these years, and if you could, you would have taken the person out or people out. If you could just get away with it, you would do it. And you would be right in doing it. But you can't do that. And you feel like there is no justice in this world. I had somebody tell me not too long ago, which just adds to my perpetual embarrassment, honestly. When I'm somewhere, get a haircut, go get an appointment, doctor's office, whatever, somebody says, so what do you do? Do you understand how I've got to tell you right now, I'm not joking, God's my witness. I'm so tempted to lie about what I do. Do you know why? Do you know how disgusting it is to hear from people who say, well, when I was 16, my pastor molested me. When I was 9, my priest. Do you understand that? And so I don't want to tell people. Many times I'll say, oh, I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. Oh, what do you teach? Theology. No, I'm really. I'm not lying. But the moment I say I'm a pastor, it's like, and then it's the no more talking. They don't talk to me after that. It's like, okay. You know what that means to me instantly? They had a horrible story. I want you to know something. Justice has not been skipped. You say, well, I want justice now and I want it completely thorough. Listen, it's coming in a way when he does it. You will back up and say, those 50 years of not seeing it, seeing now how you did it, was worth the wait. That's why God says, vengeance is mine. I'll take care of it. Amen. Don't worry. Don't fret. The representation of Jesus Christ regarding our lives is perfect. He just doesn't move according to our timetable. And he will rescue you and he will justify you. He will. He's crowned. He's glorified. He's honored. The scripture teaches us. Verse 8 says, and you have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all things in subjection under his feet, he left nothing that is not put under him. Watch, everything has been decreed, but now we see. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. Everything's been decreed. It's not been fulfilled yet. It's coming, church. Thirdly, verses 9 and 10, we see that there's no greater guide in all of the world than to have Jesus Christ in your life being your guide. That Jesus Christ is the end of Scripture. You and I need authority over our life. I'm sure I'll botch this up, but listen carefully. We live in a very, very messed up world. We all agree about that. But what you want to do in a society is maintain what is called righteousness. Okay? In a normal world, there are laws, and they are, by the way, they're biblically based, which work like this. There are to be judges, and there are to be legislators. This is all from the book of Leviticus. And there's to be those that enforce those things that are violations. And it's supposed to be done not based upon the individual's personality. The judge is supposed to represent the law, not what he feels, what she feels. Boy, are those days gone. The police officer is supposed to represent the enforcement of the law, nothing else. Crystal clear. So here's the deal. Those things are in place because of righteousness. We need guardrails as humans. There's laws in place to not only protect the community, but to protect even the person that's perpetrating things. Isn't that weird? Lisa and I have this conversation all the time. It's kind of fun. Lisa would love to be a defense attorney, or a prosecuting attorney, a prosecutor. And she'd be great at, you need to be glad my wife is not a prosecutor for the state or whoever. She'd be perfect at it, great. She's very bright. But because I love the Constitution, I always tell her I would have no problem being a defense attorney. She was, how can you say that? What if you know the guy's guilty? I assume, privately, I assume, even though I'm not supposed to. Everyone's supposed to be presumed innocent until proven guilty. But as a defense attorney, there's a high probability the person I'm going to be defending is guilty. I have no problem doing it. By the way, John Adams and I were exactly the same on this. John Adams articulated what I've always believed. If this guy's guilty, but he's an American, he has constitutional rights. I'm not defending this bozo. My job as a defense attorney is to make sure the Constitution is upheld. Because it applies to the bad guy like it applies to the good guy. It's the same. It applies to both. That's why justice, she's blind with the blindfold with the scales. I am to make sure that this scumball gets his American constitutional rights. Look, if the jury of his peers find him guilty, woohoo! That's the way it works. I thought you were my defense attorney. Weren't you going to lie for me? Nope. You see what I'm saying? But we've gotten away from righteousness. Jesus Christ is our perfect guide through all of these things. And you and I know we need him now more than ever before in the world that we're in. Because we don't even know if we have laws anymore to protect us in this current government or world. So much has evaporated, but not God. He is our guide. And it says there in verses 9 and 10, 9 opens up, it says, but we see Jesus. We don't see the world and all of the operation of it. We don't see everything calm and beautiful and peaceful. We don't see the millennium yet. What do we see? As believers, believers see Jesus. And this is a big deal, everybody. Because if you're a believer, but you don't see Jesus in all the stuff that's going on, you're going to go wacko crazy. You're going to have a really hard time, because with the increased lawlessness, you are either going to say, wow, man, my Bible said this is exactly what was going to happen. We must be so close to his coming. Versus, oh my goodness, I can't believe this is happening to us. How can this happen? Why is this happening? There was an earthquake and this happened and we have no running water and the lights are out. What's happened, oh God? Are you kidding me? This stuff happens. He's not abandoning you. We live in a messed up world. That's why he's going to come back. He's going to come back and fix it. Okay? I know what you want's good. It's just you're a little early. Be patient. But he's our guide. And a good guide gets you through rough stuff. You need a good guide. And we have him. We see Jesus. It says, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. This is awesome. He became a human so he could feel death. Why would God do that? Because you and I feel death. Does that make sense? How many of you are, raise your hand if you are over 30. Raise your hands. Oh, for crying out loud. How many of you are under 30? Raise your hands. Okay, I have an idea. 30-year-olds, you ought to invite people to come with you to church, because there's a lot of old people in this room. I mean, I may look old, but I'm not old in here. So we need some younger people in here. You need to know this. Jesus Christ came into this world so he could feel and suffer death. This is the God of the Bible. I've told you sometimes, even sarcastically, this is the best deal in town. Go find another salvation savior message where that founder or whatever it is, guru thing, does this for you. He's amazing. Especially when he's God and he doesn't have to do this. He could have gone to the grand cosmic toilet and flushed it, and humanity could have just gone down to nowhere, whatever, and he could have snapped his finger and created a perfect race of people who were AI. Really? AI. Perfect. He could have created, for those of you who remember, a Stepford world. Where it was, or where it would have been to him, I love you, God. I love you, God. I love you, God. I love you, God. Do you hear what I'm saying? See, why didn't he make this thing like this all messed up? He didn't make this thing all messed up. You know what he did? He made this thing and he gave man the choice to love whatever he wanted. And man chose to love himself instead of God. That's how Adam and Eve crashed the Garden of Eden. Does that make sense? We did this to us. So instead of God saying, you bunch of ungrateful, doesn't it break your heart when kids are ungrateful? Nothing you can do about it. What, are you going to shoot them? Can't do that. Tase them. Put a little shock collar. If you do something for them, they don't say thank you. Just, oh, yes, thank you. You could do that, but it doesn't warm your heart. Might warm their neck, but not your heart. No, he came to feel, and he came to experience, and he came to hurt. And he was crowned, it says, with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, speaking of the Father and the Holy Spirit, might taste death for everyone. So my question is, do you see Jesus? Okay, you ready? We're getting in. That was the introduction. Here we go. I want all my Muslim friends right now to listen. I want all my Jewish friends to listen. And I want all of you Gentiles listening to this. Top of your page, you should say, you should ask the question, do I see Jesus? Isaiah 48 verse 12 says, listen to me, O Jacob and Israel, my called, I am he. I am the first and I am also the last. That's the God of the Bible. That's Yah. Every Jew and every Gentile believer would say, yeah, that's exactly who it is. Rabbis tell me, yep, that's who it is. It's Yah. Are you with me? All in agreement. Isaiah 44 verse 6. Thus says Yah, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Yah or Yah of hosts. I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there's no God. Oh, start doing your math now, everybody. The God of Israel is the first and the last. We all get that? The God of Israel is the Lord, and he's the first and the last. He just said, there's no other. Everybody with me? I need you to get a little Pentecostal as we end. Okay? Isaiah 41, 4. Who has performed and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, am the first, and I am with the last. I am he. You got that? How many first and last are there? So you just got introduced. This is 100% theologically accurate. Go to the Hebrew Bible and look. Everybody look at Isaiah 41:4. I'm wondering if you caught something. There's only one Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, the first and the last. There's only one Lord. There's only one Savior. Look at Isaiah 41:4 again. Who has performed and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, that's singular. The Lord, singular, am the first, and with the last, I am he. Do you hear what's happening? Isaiah 43, verse 10. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, speaking to the Jewish people, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am. In most of your Bibles, it should be in all of your Bibles, the he is italicized. If not, the publisher put it in. I understand that. But the word is ego eimi. And that is the I am. Before me, there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. God was not created. He's trying to communicate that he's always been here and he's always going to be here. He doesn't have a start and he doesn't have an end. Revelation 1:8. You see, that's a big jump. Just wait. Revelation 1:8. I am the Alpha and the Omega. That's the word in Greek. The beginning and the end. Wait, how many beginning and the ends can we have? Only one. Says the Lord. Who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Okay? Next slide. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. That'll keep you up all night. That's a freaky thing. And they do not rest day or night saying, holy, holy, holy. I personally think there's a reason why they say it three times. Lord God Almighty, who was, who is to come. We've got a lot of divine titles popping up here, but there's only one Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, the first and the last. There's only one, he who was, is, and is to come. There's only one. And whoever is, he's the Lord. But the Lord said to my Lord, David said. Next slide. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, Revelation 1:11. Jesus said that. Next slide. Revelation 21:6, and he said to me, it's done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. These are the words of Jesus. Next one. Revelation 22:13. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I don't want to sidetrack you, but you need to mark your Bibles right now because I want you to know there are manuscripts that some publishers have used that are Gnostic leading. In other words, the publishers are not firm on the deity of Jesus. Some of your Bibles here tonight do not have that verse in them. And if you have one of those Bibles, I'd throw it away. I don't give it to somebody. Throw it away. Listen, the Bible in its original language is firm in there. It's there. There are publishers, not all of them are Christian owned, that sell Bibles because they're not stupid. The number one selling book in the world every year is the Bible, and it's number one, not Harry Potter. Harry Potter's number two. Or what did they say not too long ago? That what's that bizarre sex series of books? Biggest seller in the world of all time. What's it called? Shades of Grey. Biggest seller ever. No, it's not. The Bible's the biggest one every year, but they don't even announce it. They don't even, it's like by default. Seriously, number one. So when you say, oh, it's the number one selling book in the world, this book. Oh, hey, you're the author of the number one selling book in the... No, you're not. The Bible is. I wish more people would say that on TV or interviewers. So your book's done really well, sir. It's fantastic. Number one in America. I wish the interviewer would say, actually, it's really not, you know. Wouldn't that be great? The Bible is, every year. But some of your Bibles do not have Revelation 22:13 in it. Why? Because the publisher chose not to put it in there. The question would be, why did they choose to do that? And if you find that verse missing, you will find other verses missing in that published Bible by the publisher. Guess what? Every single one of the verses missing are specifically related to the deity of Jesus Christ. I just ruined your night, I'm sure. Oh. Revelation 1:17. And when I saw him, John said, I fell at his feet as dead, but he laid his right hand on me. Can you imagine this? Amazing. And he's saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. Jesus touched John in his vision and said, don't worry. We need to hear this tonight. Jesus wants to touch you tonight and say, don't worry, I'm the first and the last. When everybody starts talking, and when everyone's all talked out, and when everyone's done talking, I'm the first and I'm the last. I got the first word and I'll have the last word. I love that. Revelation 1:18. Are you sitting down? Okay, those of you who have some doubts about who he is, I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. So let me read it again. Watch. Let me start in verse 17. And I'll read down to verse 18. Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand upon me and said to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen, he says. That's Jesus. Holy cow. Listen, the I am, the first and the last, died. He died. And he lives again. Who fits this? So it's just a rumor. Who fits the rumor? Well, you know, some people say, it says it. He's the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The one who was, who is to come. Who dies and lives again. That reminds me of a couple of holy days we celebrate. If you have any doubts, Revelation 2:8. And to the angel of the church at Smyrna write, Jesus is speaking, book of Revelation 2:8. These things says the first and the last who was dead and came to life. That's in your Bible. 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Wow. 1 Timothy 3:16. You guys okay? And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. In other words, God came into this world wearing skin. God was manifest in the flesh. Titus 2:13, one of our all-time favorites here. My life verse. One of my life verses. Looking, the word means in a good way, anxiously looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and, in case you have any doubts, Savior. Sounds like Psalm 110. Jesus Christ. If King David was here tonight, he'd say, I love Titus 2:13. David could run right up here and start teaching on Titus 2:13 because he learned about it 3,000 years ago. John 8:58. Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, ego eimi. What is ego eimi? I am. What does that mean? I am the self-contained, eternally existing one. My dear friends, people will tell you, Jesus never claimed to be God. Those people are either ignorant of the truth or they are cunning, deceiving liars. Jesus said, I am the I am. The same one who talked to Moses on the mountain. When Moses said, who do I tell the people sent me? He said, you tell them I am, that I am sent you. So if you're in a cult right now, your head's about to explode. And I get that. We have counselors standing by. We also have an ambulance in the parking lot. John 10:32 and 33. And Jesus answered them, many good works have I done. Many good works have I shown you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? And the Jews, that is the Jewish leadership, the priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, answered, saying to him, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy. And because you, being a man, make yourself God. The word make in Greek is show, affirm, or display yourself to be God. They understood exactly what he was saying. Hosea 13:4. You guys okay? Hosea 13:4. Let's pray the children's ministry of those okay. Because they've got your kids. Hosea 13 verse 4. Yet I am the Lord your God ever since the land of Egypt. And you shall know no God before me. For there is no Savior besides me. You can't have two Saviors. If you have two Saviors, God's a liar. Titus 2:10. That they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Okay, it doesn't take an Einstein to put these together. Jesus Christ is Savior. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus Christ is the beginning and the end. And on we go. Jude 1:24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise. Oh. 1 Timothy 4:10. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those who believe. Isaiah 45:21. Tell and bring forth your case. Listen to God. I love when he flexes. This is God flexing. Watch. Tell and bring forth your case. Yes. Let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God beside me, a just God and Savior. There is none besides me. Man, I'm telling you, if you don't bow the knee to Jesus, what in the world are you doing? It is crystal clear to you tonight. Even if you don't believe, you hear the argument. Isaiah 43:11. I am the Lord. That's Yahweh. And besides me, there's no Savior. Psalm 68:4. Sing to God. Sing praises to his name. Exalt him who rides on the clouds by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. That verse literally puts the name Yah out there. The Hebrew doesn't even put L-O-R-D. It's his name. That's his name. Proverbs 30 verse 4. You guys all know that one? Do I just skip it? Proverbs 30 verse 4. Okay, this is the mic drop. This is the one, this is the best. There's no getting around it. And sadly, I'm going to read it in English because I don't read Hebrew and you wouldn't understand it. But if you read Hebrew, go read it in Hebrew, because every Jew I know, and I know a lot of Jews, have told me it's even stronger in Hebrew. Here it is. Who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fist? Who has bound the waters in his garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if you know? Good night. God bless. Right? We should end. We're way late. I'm in trouble. They keep giving me time, though, on the clock. Either that or they're not, and God is doing something. Isaiah 42:8. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another. What does that mean? That means there's only one. He doesn't share. He doesn't call angels Lord. There's no angels that are alphas and omegas. And it's an argument to tell you that God is a triunity. Because you've seen these attributes ascribed to God the Father and God the Son. And you've heard reference already to the Holy Spirit. Psalm 2, verse 11. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself. This is David's answer. The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God is with us or among us. Luke 1:30. Then the angel said to Mary, to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Yeshua, Yah. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. That's what David was learning about. Acts 4:12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Philippians 2:10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, those on earth, those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is what? Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Two more verses and we're out of here. Romans 10, verse 9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, here it is, listen, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Final verse of the night. We got to stop. Philippians 3:20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord, Jesus Christ. Church, let's stand together. Do you see Jesus? Father, we give our hearts and lives to you tonight. We're on holy ground. We collectively, I know, God, may it rise as incense rising above to your presence. Lord, how dare we come to such awesome truth? What we just read tonight, these 33 verses in this argument about the deity of the Messiah, Isaiah would have probably fallen down crying with joy. David would have started dancing. For Rahab to hear what we just read, probably no one more grateful than Adam and Eve themselves. Here we are at the end of this year in the 21st century, and your Bible's crystal clear. It's Jesus. And so, Father God, we pray tonight, those here, those watching, those who will listen, who will watch later, we ask you, Father God, in Jesus' name, that at this late hour of human history, you would so come down. I don't care, Lord, if they're in the cockpit of an airplane, if they're riding a bicycle with their headphones on, if they're cooking, if they're working, if they're in school, if they're on the subway, wherever they're at, Holy Spirit, may you come upon them and show them the glory of the Son, Jesus. We, mere mortals, have spoken tonight the righteous word of God, exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that you would just sweep around this globe, all those that will hear this message and come to the saving knowledge of Jesus right now. God, we love you tonight. We're not robots. We're not AI. We are sinners, grateful and thankful that you died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead. And we give you our praise in this closing song of worship to you. Church family, speak your gratitude in this song to him. Let's bless him now.